B-Pod Studios.
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed. Better set my sights on my
hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
Yacht Rock.
What's up, Dan?
That song's weak.
Yeah, what is that? What is that version of that song? It's America. What is that?
It sounded good till the voice kicked in.
Well, America sucked.
It didn't sound the same.
They were never
from the
onset. They were never good. Yeah, they're never ripoff of.
This is great on a boat.
Well, I guess
not this version.
No, this version's terrible.
This version is awful.
They were everything they did was awful. They're just a rip
off. A horse with no name.
Ripoff of Crosby, Stills, Nash. Lyrics that made no sense. No.
Here we go.
No. Nothing. No.
All right then.
Yes.
Now that we've got that out of the way. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, fellas.
Good to have you here.
Thanks.
What do you make of Mike Trout signing a deal for 12 years and $430 million?
I liked what you guys were doing with the numbers, you know, the machinations that you had, and coming to the, you know, conclusion that it's not quite 400 when in new money, but,
right.
But better than Harper, I guess, and Mookie probably goes somewhere in between. Those things are fun.
Look at all my math problems I have up here on the screen that I've been doing over here. I've been doing a lot of math.
A lot of permutations.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I think it's interesting. I thought you pointed out that these guys, you know, are signing something, and that I think there's a problem with the CBA coming in a couple of years, and it might be in people's interest to get on there now. You know, and this could help the Red Sox.
So is it possible that in the new CBA they limit the length of deals?
There's all kinds of things.
You have to.
And I mean, you know,
I think I know that players will say, you know, that's a bad thing for players and that's going to cap their potential earnings. I think they might get more players will get bigger dollars if they do it that way. The guys
who
suffer,
have like a 5 or 6 year max.
The guys who will suffer as a result are the Mike Trouts, are the Mookie Betts. You know, there's a handful of players that will probably lose out on some money later in their career. But I think there are more players that are not quite at that level that are going to get more dollars when a team can say, well, we can only sign you for 5 years.
Right.
So instead of having to do a 7 or 8 year deal, we're going to do a 5 year deal. We're going to pay you more money.
Right. And once they have a structure like that with limitations, it gets away from what's happening now, which is the agent wallet measuring thing that's going on. I mean, you know, they always have to establish, well, I got the most this time. This is the most. And that you run into problems with your own players when that agent needs to get the most to establish that's what he can do. And I think that, you know, this is a back and forth. Boris does it more than anybody, clearly. But I still think that these are rare players that you're going to commit like this to, even if it were 6 or 7. I mean, as I've said many times, the only 8 year for a position player that I can remember that ever paid off was Manny Ramirez, you know, which was he gave you 7.5 years out of 8, and he killed it. He was great. But it's just these things, all like the Pujols thing, they always look bad later. And look what's happened in New York. Ellsbury showed up either Sunday or Monday, and he talked yesterday, I believe. That thing is like, it's still weighing on them, and it's such a waste. And it's just, even by New York standards, one of the worst ever. And I mean, I was sorry to see him go when he left here because he was a really good player here. He was runner-up for MVP, as I recall. And but what they're faced with and what that's the yield has been on that. Oof.
But if there's a player that you want to, and then this again goes back to why they should cap the years, because Ellsbury would be one of those guys and one of those lower tiered players.
Yeah.
If you're going to have some dead money, we'll call it, at the end of a deal, well, it makes sense to do it for a guy like Mike Trout. It makes sense to do it for Mookie Betts. It makes sense for Nolan Arenado, even though I don't think that's going to be dead money. I think he's one of those guys that could certainly work out.
Look what they're sitting on with Chris Davis. You want to look at something that's maybe the worst ever. I mean, what they're paying that man for what he does now.
Yeah.
And how much more than on there.
There's some bad money out there, but it's not worth it for a guy like Chris Davis.
Right.
It's not worth it for a guy that is, you know, Jacoby Ellsbury. Good players, okay? Had some good years.
Yeah.
But not what you should want is the, you know, these overpayment crazy money now that you're not getting anything for it. The Carl Crawford type of deals. right?
Right.
Because those are sort of a step below. But with Mookie Betts, there's no question where he is in this.
Right.
Is he a better player than Manny Machado?
Yes.
Yes.
He is now. Yes.
Is he a better player than Bryce Harper? Yes, he is.
Well, I need to see him have another year. But I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Let me ask you this.
I'm just saying, Dan, if you're looking at the deals that Harper and Machado got, and you're looking at the deal that just got handed out today to Mike Trout, Mookie Betts is much closer to Mike Trout than he is those other guys.
I'll go along with that. Why is there not more conversation about Bogarts is what I wonder. I mean, he's up now. He's a shortstop, you know, 27 or 8. He's won 2 championship rings.
I'd rather pay Betts.
Knocked in 100 runs last year. I mean, he had a really good year. Oh, yeah, I'd rather pay Betts, too. But this guy's up now, and there's no one in the system that can play that position. There's no backup for him. I just think that, to me, that's one that's more urgent. And as much fun as it is to speculate about Betts, $400 million, all this kind of thing, and, you know, 10, 12 years, whatever, the Bogarts thing is right in front of your face, and it doesn't appear to be any movement on that. I think it's more likely that they re-up sale before any of these guys, even in the next week, which I would not be in favor of. But there seems to be a lot of good feeling about Chris Sale down there, starting with the owner saying that there was no problem with the shoulder.
Okay, if you could pick one guy to sign right now, Sale or Bogarts, who would you sign?
Oh, I'd sign Bogarts.
As would I.
Jeez, yeah. I mean, everyday player.
An everyday player?
And there's no history at this point of injury. The Sale thing, I'm sorry, it scares the hell out of me. 158 innings last year. He's turning 30 now. And, you know, has a propensity to fade at the end of seasons. You know, that stupid year they made him strike out 300 guys, and then he had nothing left at the end. And he pitched 15 innings in 14 playoff games last year. There's some notion that he roared back at the end and was just like he was. No, he wasn't.
No, he didn't.
No, it felt like
he started the game and got a win against the Yanks, which was, you know, he didn't pitch great. But in 14 games, he pitched 15 in the third innings. I mean, that's not a...
Didn't he sit down for a while, like he was sickly, or just losing weight?
No, he had the belly button.
Yeah.
Too, don't forget
that's right.
So
got an infection.
Like a lot of stuff. I don't know. The way the owner was talking and just, I know Alex Spear talked to Sale, and he was pretty, you know, forthcoming about it down there. And just, I just wonder if there's something afoot with that. They love Chris Sale. We all love Chris Sale. But for a long term, yeah, give me Bogarts right now.
We just pulled up the Chris Davis deal. The 7 years, $161 million, which has an annual salary of $23
million. Oh. And he was like the worst hitter in baseball last year. People feel sorry for him.
Some of the deferred money in it is ridiculous, too.
It's out of control. It's the greatest thing ever.
It's got $42 million in deferred money. It will pay out in 10 installments of $3.5 million annually each July 1st. It's like Bobby Bowe.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla, it's awesome.
From 2023 until 2032.
Nice little retirement.
And then starting in 2033, the payments go down to $1.4 million a year through 2037.
Now look at what he did last year. I mean, it's just beyond belief. I mean, to the point where he wants to stay in there, and he doesn't even like take batting practice in public now.
For the next 19 years... Chris Davis will make at a minimum in any of those years, $1.4 million from the Orioles.
Right.
Most years he will be making at least $3.5 million.
And he was like...
And for the next four, 19, 20, 21, 22, he's making $23 million a year.
And the Mendoza line was not even approachable for him last year. All he does is strike out.
He had 168 last year.
How many strikeouts?
How many Ks?
How many in it?
192 strikeouts.
How many ABs? It's like under 500, I think. I mean,
470.
Thank you. So he strikes out 40%.
Oh my God.
He hits 160, and I think it is the worst.
That might be the worst contract in sports.
Oh, yeah. No, it's underrated for its badness.
It's underrated.
29, 109, 319, 28, 118, 302.
That's going to be one of the worst contracts in all of professional sports. Yeah. Wow, that is bad.
168, 16, 49.
But here's the thing. I don't see. Something would have to go horribly wrong with Mookie Betts to get to the point where you say, he wasn't worth the deal.
Right.
To have that happen. That's not going to happen to Mookie Betts.
No,
I don't think it's going to even happen to Xander Bogarts.
Unfortunately, it's a mental case. I mean, it's just like, whatever, you know. I mean, maybe there was some, he had to get off the juice or something. I don't know, but that's just, nobody ever fell off the cliff like that. He struck out a lot but when he was mashing, but he was still hitting like 40 homers.
Right. Right, and they overpaid for him to begin with. That was a bad contract the day they signed it.
Angelos fell in love with him.
617-779-0985. Of all the players he could have fallen in love with over the years, he chose him.
Where's James Dolan when you need him?
He chose him. There's big money being handed out in baseball, and the question is, does it make Mookie Betts a $400 million player? It seems that way. It seems like Mookie Betts, if he were to do a deal this offseason right now, would have to eclipse that $400 million mark. We'll get to your calls coming up. Dan Shaughnessy is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. You
know. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
We get back to your calls. Dan Shaughnessy is with us in our Town Fair Tire studios. Is Mookie Betts a $400 million player? If the Red Sox were signing him today, he is. That is the, I guess, fortunate reality for him and maybe unfortunate reality for the Red Sox. They're going to have to pony up. And there's no excuse for them not to pay him. They don't have that built in. They have no reason that they could present to why they should not pay the guy.
And they still have these issues that, you know, it's not brought up much, but how little they have in the system to replace their core players, I mean, who are all coming due pretty soon here. But, you know, the draft and development hasn't been there for them. It's not like, you know, when they were losing guys 10 years ago or whatever. I mean, the Theo and Charrington had pretty good draft and development, and it's just not been there under Dombrowski. I mean, it's possible.
That's not what he does. I mean, quite frankly, that is not what Dave Dombrowski you hire him for.
No. So,
which they won, okay? They won the World Series. Right. And there were rumors of Dave Dombrowski signing an extension, right?
Yes.
To your knowledge, has he signed that extension?
No. I mean, the owners pretty much guaranteed it when they gave their moment down there. I thought there was a lot to say and kind of waiting for it. And he had a really good year last year. I mean, he hit on Eovaldi, he hit on Pierce. Those things were, you know, they hit on Brazier. I mean, you know, those things all worked out really well for them. But the draft and development, you know, it hasn't been up to snuff. And I don't know. They'll say the best players are at A-ball or whatever like that.
Right.
And, you know, good luck with the next generation. That takes a while to get those guys there. So when you're talking about, I mean, Bradley, again, they still would have traded him. But Bogaerts being up now and then Betts and Bradley, you know, these guys, you're ways off with Devers and Benintendi, which is good.
Sure.
But those guys and they secured the catcher, which I think is kind of crucial. I'm wondering now about the catcher thing, if they're not going to trade one of those three guys. I mean, I don't know why
they've indicated they're not.
Yeah,
which they're either A, not doing it and they mean it, or B, they're saying that because they don't want to diminish the value of those guys if they do entertain a trade on any of them.
I think, I mean, Swihart clearly has the most value because he's young and athletic. He's a switch hitter. I mean, the age thing is weird because Swihart looks younger. He's not much younger. They're all the same
right,
age, basically.
Right.
But I think
you can't say switch hitter. You get offended by it.
No, you can say that. No, it's okay. You can't say a disabled list.
I know. That's, we went over this yesterday.
I didn't even know why they changed it, right. But now I do.
So, but I think that the Swihart thing, he's got the most value, maybe not as a catcher, but I think they would have traded Leon if he had value and if Chris Sale didn't love him so much. I really think that's what's keeping him around now. And Swihart, you do see him running to the backstop a lot. You still do. But to me, Vasquez is the everyday catcher. And they're gonna take care of Sale with Leon, and then Swihart, he's the bat on the bench.
So the reason I ask about Dombrowski and his future is because what if they get to a point where as an organization, despite him being in charge of, you know, players in the roster, he still has to report to ownership on what they're spending, and it comes down to, well, we can't keep Bogaerts and Sale, pick one. And you get to a point where you say, well, what are we going to do at shortstop if we don't sign Bogarts? Well, develop somebody. Yeah. And all of a sudden, there is an expectation. If there becomes some sort of organizational expectation that he has to rebuild the farm system,
ooh,
does he want to do that?
No.
And I think that answer is absolutely not. That is not what he does.
64 years old.
That is not what he does.
Championships. Again, look at the Detroit Tigers. That's what you don't want to be. You know, what they are now is Dave Dombrowski's residue. From, he got them to the World Series. They didn't get there in 13 when they should have got there. That was the plan. They had all those pitchers. And, Cabrera was young and, Victor was still mashing. All that stuff was going on. But look at them now. That's what the Sox position could look like.
Dave Dombrowski has a shelf life.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. His style has a shelf life. He's perfect. He has been perfect for the job. They won.
Yeah, he's the fixer. Right?
He did.
Yeah,
does it differently. Tweaked, does it his way.
Tweaked, fixed, had a lot to work with on the roster when he got here. If they're asking him to rebuild it from within.
It's nice to have a checkbook.
Forget it. He's not your guy. Yeah. That's not the guy you want.
I'd love to be a developer
and I don't
and
think
house
that's
builder.
What he wants either.
Wouldn't you love to be a house builder and say, hey, I have all this land. Here's the money. Go build your house.
Yeah.
You got an endless checkbook. Go and buy the biggest free agent you can.
Yeah, do it.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that.
Porcello's up too. Right?
Yeah.
No one talks about him either.
Well.
I see like the perfect trade.
Pitches a lot of innings.
I'm surprised he didn't get traded this offseason.
I know.
I'm surprised that he's still here.
Enjoy that team because they're going to look different pretty soon.
Right. And when you have to start looking different and you have limits on who you could pay, that might change the job for Dave Dombrowski. Yeah. So again, they mentioned an extension. I don't think he signed one.
No.
I don't think he has one. You should ask around on that,
that's
Dan.
That's a good question.
Ask your people.
That's a good question.
It's good.
Because it was almost de facto.
Right.
They answered more than they had to answer.
He's going to get extended. Well, has he?
No.
Now it's a week from the season starting.
I'll have to go back and listen to the tape. Maybe that was just Tom babbling.
All right.
Sometimes Tom just goes off.
Take a listen. You let me know. Jeff is in Carver. Hey, Jeff.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, Jeff.
I got a question for you guys. Well, these guys are making all this money, right? Millions and millions of dollars a year.
Yes.
And Cortez, once you make over $10 million, she's going to tax it at 70%. What are these guys going to do?
I don't think she's going to have her way with that, first of all. But I know what you're saying.
Who? What?
She's talking about he's
Cortez, the congressman.
Yeah.
The Green Deal.
It's a political question. It's a Bernie Sanders.
Oh, AOC?
You want to comment on that?
What about AOC?
Socialism question.
When they get taxed, what's the rate?
Once you get to that number.
What's her proposed rate?
You see the size of the steak I ate last night?
Yeah, it's a high number once you get
bone
past
in.
A certain
I think it's 70%.
Drove my truck to pick it up.
Yeah. For their bracket, it would be 70%?
I think that's what he said.
Yeah. Oh, then she's going after the wrong people. You need to go after the billionaires, not the millionaires, billionaires.
Going to be a lot of guys with residences in Florida, I can tell you that. 6 months and one day a year.
All of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of money in those islands. A lot of hidden bank accounts. Let's go to Joe in Revere. Hey, Joe.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Joe, my man.
Hey, so how are you, my friend?
You're back. Baseball. All right.
Yes. Yes, baseball is back. Hey, you got to sign Mookie. I don't care. Get the checkbook out. Pay the guy. The guy deserves the money. He's always there. He plays every game. He's a baseball player. He does everything right.
Hey, he's a baseball player.
You don't hear nothing bad about him. You know. But I called for about the Celtics. I'm sorry.
Okay, get to it.
That the third quarter, 6 seconds left in the third quarter. We were up five. We had all the momentum. Then the guy hit the three, and then he calls timeout with 1 second left. And that was, I think, the worst call I ever seen Stevens make since he's been our coach. And all of a sudden, Morris wants to play football. He wants to throw the ball all the way down the court. No one touches it. Denver gets the ball back. They tie the game up. They go into the fourth
quarter. They
call
timeout to set a play up.
Right, exactly. But the play blew up in their face.
Try and draw something up there.
Exactly. I understand all
that.
But it blew up in their face, right, Zo?
Yeah. How's your
son? They tied the game up, and the momentum just switched so fast.
Sure
and
did.
Then Denver ran 6 points off in the fourth quarter. It was like 11-point switch in a matter of, a minute? And the game, that's where I think the Celtics lost the game.
So who do you put that
that's
on?
My opinion.
Who do you put that on?
I put that on Brad Stevens. I hate to say that.
No, it's fair. And Brad Stevens put it on himself after the game.
There's a deep look, but we had safeties. And so, you know, ultimately, if you can get a matchup you like on the deep look, we've thrown that before and had good success. You know, obviously, didn't work. And, you know, again, that's on me for calling the timeout.
Well, yeah. There it is.
Yeah, he owned it.
I don't think he got credit for it if it did work.
Do you think the game was
lost? They had one to waste. That they were going to lose one going into the fourth quarter. That's why he called the timeout.
Yeah, do you think that they lost because of that? I don't.
No, I think they lost because it looked like Marcus Smart was playing a little different speed than everybody else.
I thought there were a lot of...
Definitely a turning point in the game, though.
It was a turning point, but I don't feel like that was the reason. It was one of the reasons.
The problem is this team can't react once there's a turning point. They don't respond and turn it the other way. Once there's a turning point and they go downhill, it feels like they fold. That's the problem with this team so far. Yeah, maybe it's a regular season thing.
They lack some fight. I mean, I just think we're looking at that and seeing that.
You think their domination of the Sixers continues tomorrow night?
Oh, yes, I do, because the Sixers are a stupid team.
Because they own their ass. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And they're not only a stupid team, now the
Sixers matchup for them.
Have to fight the mental problem they have of getting beat down by the Celtics so many times.
Scary Celtics. If the Sixers can't do it tomorrow, I would go along with you. I just think that they're going in the right direction.
Kyrie will hang 38 tomorrow.
Sixers.
The
Kyrie
Sixers will hang 38. Yes. Are the Celtics going in the right direction?
No, they are not. I know the trip, the plane ride, the three out, you know, the one, the three out there. But I know the Atlanta game is still troublesome. I think that was a good team last night, but yeah, you got to win that game at home.
I look at the Houston game where they no-showed, and then I look at last night and say, what's your excuse last night?
Yeah, they're home, beat those
You're
guys.
Home.
You know.
Yeah, well, what, because they're a good team?
No back-to-back thing.
Do you not beat good teams anymore? Is that the thing?
Yeah, no. That's
just hanging around waiting for the playoffs?
Beat that team. It does have that feel, which I think, and since Kyrie said it, that's what
Kyrie told us. Which I really don't think is going to serve them well.
Back in the playoffs. No. They'll be ready.
No, I really don't.
They don't have the cred to say they can kick it in or flip the switch.
Feels like they're in neutral.
Yeah.
Paul's in Revere. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, just wondering, Dan, what you think if Dustin Pedroia will retire this year or not.
Well,
I hope.
Couple things on that. You know,
yeah, you got anything on a little leader there, Dan?
I get.
I thought he's going to play 125 games, according to Dumbo.
That was the hope. And
no, 125 games, he said.
I mean, we've been fed a lot of stuff by Dustin Pedroia and Alex Cora and Dave Dombrowski. And, you know, no one really knows how this feels. The brace is significant. It's a big brace. When you talk to Pedroia, this just all kind of came up.
I mean, you guys been down here for weeks upon weeks upon weeks and nothing, and then all of a sudden, bam, we get whacked with this.
No, we tell you every day, well, he's doing two innings today, he's doing four innings today. It's like two at-bats, one at-bat, whatever. It's been very gradual, and you'd say, well, they're opening a week from Thursday. This seems really gradual. So they're holding him back. He says they're scared, they're playing this, you know, safely, the whole thing. But at some point, it's going to be like, well, wait, you're just not level with us. You just can't be the same player. So clearly, they're not seeing what they want to see. It's a roster spot. It's how many pitchers they have. Whether they trade one of the catchers, those things are all in play. So they're buying some time here with this. One thing I will say, I get a lot of emails, you know, like that he's doing this for the money or whatever. And it's exactly the opposite. He gets his money if he retires with this injury.
Yeah.
So please understand, he's not doing this for the money.
Why do people say that to you about baseball? Why do you even get those?
There's an inference that the only reason he's still doing this is so he'll get paid. It's quite the opposite. He's doing this because he wants to make his money and earn his money. He's going to get the money anyway. So take away that argument. But at the same time, like Zoe, why are you so quick to mock him with the little leader?
Because he showed up ready to go, fully dressed in his uniform. And it was told us. I could just see him sitting there in his chair, just holding.
Right. That was the first day that he played the game down there. Right. And that was the manager was teasing him about that because that's sort of his mentality.
Because his own manager looks at him and says, what are you doing?
What a tool. Like, well, what do you think the young kids, like these kids aren't going to make the team. Like, look at this guy. Like, here we go again.
But it's not that way. I mean, the people in the club.
You don't think opinions regarding this player has changed over the years?
No, I think you go down there and talk to Bogarts or Mookie.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about people that watch our show, call our show, listen to our show, go to games.
I think for Dustin Pedroia, I think it started, I mean, there was a notion that he was too close to Francona, the manager's Bobo, you know, playing chess or whatever they were doing in there. And then, you know, ongoing, he was too tough on Bobby Valentine and posted pictures on Facebook. And then the Machado thing.
How about the Eckersley thing?
It's not me, it's them, the whole thing. We don't know where he was in the Eckersley thing. I've not been able to determine if he was applauding or what that was. So, but I think it's been... And he's become more guarded and pulled back on this as well. But I still think that the teammates down there, I'm not sensing any you know, guys in the room that are rolling their eyes at what he's trying to do. I think there's a lot of respect for him. They like having him around. And I don't know if he can be a good player or not. I'm not saying it's over for him. Just not ready to do that yet.
All right, let's pick this up on the other side with your calls. 617-779-0985. And what's a fair expectation for Dustin Pedroia this year? Is there any expectation for him as a player? We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction. Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If man is the father, the sun is the center of the earth, in the middle of the universe, then why is this verse coming six times rehearsed? Don't freestyle much, but I write them like such.
Word.
Amongst the fiends controlled by the screens, what does it all mean? All this
insulting, Dan?
No, it's a good blend.
Oh, good.
Good blend.
Good blend, Dan. Good blend, Jim.
Taking Stephen Stills track and jazzing it up.
Public Enemy is bad.
Wasn't this whole soundtrack was Public Enemy for He Got Game, Denzel Washington, circa 1998, I'll say. It's got to be 20 years old.
Yes, 1998.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem.
If it don't mean nothing, what is game? Who got game? Where's the game?
This was a big song when it came out.
And that is, for what it's worth, Stephen Stills.
Yeah, we know.
With Buffalo
Springfield. The original was better. We know.
Also in Forrest Gump, when they're marching in the forest, just before the bombs go off, and Bubba gets killed.
That's right, Bubba.
Playing that.
Poor Bubba.
I know, I've got to go get Bubba.
617-779-0985.
I like when he was running down the street and all his braces came off. He just kept booking, man.
Yeah.
He must have ran forever. Keep on running and running. Then he went to the White House and he met that nice president. Someone shot him one day. Must have had me 15, 17 Dr. Peppers. I got to pay.
Good moment.
Great moment.
Think they were eating Big Macs that day?
Probably not.
Oh, I wish.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Big Macs.
Good stuff.
Wendy's.
We're thinking about potentially going as a show. They head down there.
We haven't got an invite yet, but
I haven't got the invite
I'm in.
Yet. We are.
They
open.
Want us to go. We'll go.
Look at us. You think we like Chick-fil-A and Big Macs?
For what thing?
White House. They're
for
Pats.
The for the Pats at the White House.
Oh, the Pats. Why don't they go with the Red Sox? Why don't they make that a combined visit?
Oh, therefore they'd have a full team.
Yeah,
between the two.
The guy likes a big room.
They'd be able to fill all the risers with athletes.
It'd be perfect. It's a solution. It solves everything. You know, just one big thing.
My thing is, Dan, if I were a player, and I've said this, if I were a player. And I got invited, and I didn't want to go see the president, but I got invited.
Yeah.
I would go, take the tour, see the White House, and speak. Peace, I'm out of here. And then walk out the door. You could go see the White House and then leave. You've been there, right?
Sure.
Yeah. How is it?
I was there with Reagan when the Celtics won.
Yeah.
Went after Reagan. And I was at the Patriot, the last one, when the president thought, who do you think was there that wasn't there? He cited somebody. Danny Amendola. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever put Amendola in that speech, said his head must have rolled. Oh, boy.
So is it worth it? Is it worth going to see?
Now it's not like it was. I mean, we were right in the Rose Garden with the Celtics. We were right there. You know, Dennis Johnson.
Oh, I heard it was different by people that went. They actually got much more private tours by the new president.
Well, that's good. But I can tell you, in 84.
We've
heard that they've opened things up a little
they've
bit
taken,
there. I'd like to go see it.
Sure, come on in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Good. That's good.
I want to see where the ghosts are.
Go for it.
I want to see the Lincoln bedroom. I want to see where I want to see the haunted wing.
I hope you get to.
They say they shut that thing off at night because like nobody goes in there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. We're just waiting on an invite.
Yep.
We're ready to take the show on the road.
Be awesome.
Excellent.
Yep. To the nation's capital. 617-779-0985. Dustin Pedroia for the year. I have zero expectation that he's going to do anything, Dan.
Jesus.
I understand.
My baseline expectation is 3 games. Anything above that, he's exceeding it.
Well,
the idea that he's going to play 125 games, are they ready to back off that yet? He's not even going to start the season.
There's no need to do it until you you back off until
what? Until there's 125 games, 124 right. games left.
I mean, that's why you know Nunez and Brock Holt are around, and that's what it'll be. And maybe they'll go get the next Ian Kinsler if they decide that's not sufficient. In the meantime, they're going to see what this guy can do. And I think that you still have to give him a couple weeks into the season to see if he shows up and starts playing every day.
Okay, we are in the department of the Red Sox being close on luxury tax threshold, right?
Yeah, they're at 220.
They're right up against it.
Yep.
Are they going to be able to add this year?
I don't think they're going to add. I really don't. And again,
so when you say the next Ian Kinsler, that wouldn't be possible.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are when you bring in a guy like that. Because, I mean, they brought in Eovaldi last year. They brought in Pierce. I don't know how that affected. They were on the threshold last year too, and they've been over. And I think they know the window is now for this team. And there's only 2.5 other good teams in American League, so you go for it.
Jay is in Framingham. Hi, Jay.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I really love the show.
Thanks, Jay.
So,
Jay.
I'm calling about this very topic, Dustin Pedroia, and curious why we make such a big deal about his potential return. So other than living off the past glories and what used to be a great all-out hustle of attitude, what's left?
Maybe
and
nothing.
I should say, he's failed to live up to any kind of leadership role that's been hand-delivered to him. So why do we care so much?
Because of the name? The name and a contract?
They won the World Series without him, so they're prepared to win the World Series without him again. So I don't know what your point is. I mean, they're not saying that the season's hinges on Pedroia playing 125 games. It's like, if he does, that's good for them. If he doesn't, they can win anyway because they did last year.
Yeah, but it wasn't phrased like that by the team and management. Like the expectation at the start of this spring training.
Well, they've got a guy.
He's a 125 game player.
They've got a guy, and they're on the hook for 3 more years of salary to this guy, and he's worked to come back, and he wants to come back. He's telling them he can come back, so they're giving him every opportunity, and that's where it is.
It's just odd hearing that a year after he tells you, "Hey, man, this knee is bad. You people need to realize this knee is chronic. It's not getting any better. It's about pain management, and you're just gonna have to deal with it."
Well, during last year, it took a while for that to be the message because, right. They were still saying in July that he was going
to
come back.
Well, you had to cut Handley, too, because, he was coming back. I was also told.
We'll check on Handley, how he's doing in Cleveland. He's playing for Tito again.
Yes, his kid is just ripping a cover off a ball.
Yeah, I've seen that. Little one. Seen those videos?
And Handley's standing right next to him. He's like, swing now! Swing now! And boom, ball goes. Ball goes. Kid just jumps. Love it.
He swings just like Handley, too.
Kid. Yeah, swing. Right out of his shoes, yeah. Laney would love Hanley's
from
kid.
His ass. Yeah. He's very swinging. Matt's in Medway on the Celtics. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey.
Hey, can I pivot a little bit? I had two things I wanted to chat with you about. One was that sequence at the end of the third quarter of last night's Celtics game. Probably the most embarrassing professional 6 seconds. I can't put the blame on Stevens, though. It's not his job to execute. And, Morris's mistake was a physical one. It's as much as I love the guy, Jaylen Brown's mental mistake and falling asleep and allowing a dunk with 1.1 seconds, I'm just not sure how you do that. I wanted to ask your thoughts on where would you put blame on that? And then I had a quick question for Zoe on Trey Flowers, if I could, after.
Sure. Oh, you want to answer the first one? I mean, this team has fallen asleep defensively a lot this year. Where they go from man to the zone, all of a sudden these guys are getting easy dunks, easy layups, back door. Like, they don't seem defensively, mentally into it the way they have in past years. I don't know.
1.1, I mean, the only thing they can do is something at the rim. It's inexplicable.
I don't put that on the coach. I mean, you can't take it with you into the fourth, so why not give it a shot? And Brad even said, we've done this before and it's worked. So.
And you might need it again in the playoffs. So why not try it? Now, Morris is not the guy that's going to inbound the ball. So I think you can take a positive away from that. But that Jaylen Brown, that hurt. The question quickly for Zoe on Flowers. I was away last week. You guys may have covered this. I was bummed to find out that he's going to Detroit. I just wanted to know, were we close?
No. No. Not at all. I don't even think they spoke with him. I think it was so well known that he was the type of guaranteed money he was going to get, you couldn't even insult him with an offer.
So they didn't even have a real conversation.
I don't think they did, and I haven't heard anything on that. Heard it was quiet on that end, on the Patriots end.
Quiet. No conversation.
Can't compete with that money.
All right.
Well, how did you think the Humphreys thing played out?
Can we talk about that next?
Yeah, we can do that.
I want the Humphreys audio again because something struck a nerve with me yesterday listening to Murray and Jones.
All right, regarding little Patriots talk coming your way with Dan Shaughnessy right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
It's definitely my understanding. That was that was something that I was weighing the options between both teams, and it was tough. Obviously they have a lot of success with guys similar to me, and obviously everything I've said to you guys today about why I chose here is true, and I'm excited to work with this team and hopefully propel them to some wins and a playoff run.
A handshake deal is a handshake deal, but nothing was official until you signed it. You could have changed your mind. Was there temptation, and what was your feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, when I committed to Tennessee, I was, obviously I'm a man of my word. I'm gonna keep my word there. But, it's tough. It's a big decision, and, it's a decision that, will impact me for the rest of my life. So, obviously took a lot of thought into that. Having family around me was good. But once I committed to Tennessee, I was really excited to be a Titan, and still am.
That's something you don't hear often.
Yeah,
really excited to be a Titan.
Thanks a lot, family.
What's your issue with him?
A little Smurf. You hear him at the beginning of it? Yeah, you know, they've had a lot of sex with people. They've had a lot of success with
people.
They've
had a lot of what with people?
Success with people like me. Like me. What the hell are you? The hell have you done? Good luck catching 60 balls from the two robots that'll be slinging a rock to you. And then you sit there and you hear, yeah, I hope to help them, hope to propel them to a couple wins, maybe go on a playoff run. You don't know, something like that's your goal. Get a couple wins, maybe go on a playoff run. And all that guaranteed.
Did he say
money.
A couple of wins?
Yeah, play it back.
Is that how he phrased it?
Yeah.
I thought he was saying, to win more games and go on a playoff run.
Everything I've said to you guys today about why I chose here is true. And I'm excited to work with this team and, hopefully propel them to some wins and a playoff run.
Propel them to some wins? Yeah, some wins and a playoff run.
It's a tough decision. Family around me, they helped me make it. Yeah, you take the guaranteed money. Oh, my God.
I so much
money.
Prefer.
Don't go play with Tom Brady. Go play with the two robots.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't come here.
I so much prefer that answer to the guys who go to the podium in Tennessee.
Like, you're used to losing.
I'm here because we want to win the Super Bowl. Like, shut up. You're not winning the Super Bowl. Come on. He's being reasonable. I want to make the team better, win more games, go to the playoffs.
Say what you did.
Baby steps.
I took the guaranteed money.
Baby steps.
The more guaranteed money.
Talk about the Super Bowl when you get close to the Super Bowl.
My family is here. It's a tough decision. They really helped me. Family, guess what your family would tell you to do? What would your family
tell
you to
do? Why are you so butthurt by this guy not picking the Patriots? Yeah. It's so obvious.
They were talking about last. It just pissed me off on Fogart and Maz yesterday. Just seeing it getting deep into it. Why didn't he pick here? I'm glad he didn't pick here after listening to all his audio.
I'm glad he didn't come.
That's a tough decision.
You don't want us? I don't want you.
People like me, like you. Give me Edelman. Can't hold Edelman's jock. Edelman runs circles around.
How would
clock.
You have felt? Who said it has to be either or?
Because he's a slot guy. That's what he is. Slot guy.
Did the Patriots want him or not?
Guy. Patriots were interested. Yes, they came in late.
Dan, the Patriots to this point. The free agency started last week, and fans were very relaxed.
Yeah.
Trey Flowers walks out the door. He goes to Detroit.
Look at Bill.
And everybody is saying,
all figured out.
"It's all right. This is this is the Patriots. They have their system. Right. They have their way of doing things. We have our fun in February." Not March, all that stuff. Right. And then 4 days later, people have lost their minds. It's great. It's fun.
Yeah. Where's Bill? Is he still on the beach?
Bill, get off the beach, all of that stuff. And this is why I think it's happened. Not because anyone actually cares about Adam Humphreys becoming a Patriot. I said last week when I heard they were interested, I said, oh, God, don't overspend on this guy.
No kidding.
Don't go after this guy. They offered him $10 million a year, more than anybody else. And they didn't get their guy. They are usually the team offering a little bit less and getting the guy based on reputation. This time they came in with the most money, although maybe not in time.
So if this guy sucks so much, why did they want him?
I don't say he sucks. I mean, he's incrementally gone up each year. Yeah, whether it's 40, 60, 80 catches, whatever he catches. He's done a nice job in the slot. So they're looking at it. This reminds me of, remember when we went nuts when they got rid of Welker, and Welker just like got disgruntled and signed that kind of crappy deal with Denver. Yeah. We tried to phrase it as, well, we were offering technically more at that time. And then Danny Amendola comes in the back door and signs a $35 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what this reminds me.
To this point, Dan, Patriots have failed at what they've set out to do this offseason. They have come up short. Now, that could change overnight. Sure. I mean, they could have a guy in here by tomorrow. But to this point, they have come up short in their pursuit of a receiver. They're 0-for-1, as far as we know.
0-for-1.
Maybe it's more. The other offers to other players that we don't know.
I heard somebody,
they're 0-for-1.
I heard somebody call the afternoon show yesterday and called A.J. Green a transcendent player.
Oh, God.
Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. Oh, I called, and Billy Lammy put me up, and they wouldn't put me on air. Because I was about ready to go nuts for even taking the call and engaging in that type of conversation. I've done the broadcast for 6 years. There's two guys that quit in this league. Demaryius Thomas is number one. A.J. Green is number two. Everybody remembers that On to Cincinnati game? Remember that one? We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati. Go watch that game. Watch A.J. Green pack it in. He wanted to start the bus the second quarter. He was done. Those type of diva, I don't want him. He's like Ocho Cinco 2.0. I want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. What do you want him now? Just because his name's A.J. Green and you got stiffed by Adam Humphries? That's what you want him for. You want the name. Freaking Bengal.
He's still a Hall of Famer, though.
Huh? Hall of Famer?
He's on track for a Hall of Fame career.
Hall of Famer.
He ain't there yet.
Yeah. Wow.
Not there yet.
I call
just
it
by numbers. He's going to be a numbers guy.
You couldn't cover Odell Beckham Jr. You couldn't cover, even when you had Antonio Brown covered, like Malcolm Brown had him covered in that 11-catch game. That dude competed and caught balls. Those guys are transcendent players. Larry Fitzgerald, transcendent player. Come at me with A.J. Green, transcendent player. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. He and Demaryius Thomas, quitters.
So you said that game, though? Tom just looked it up. So he didn't.
Oh, he got a bunch of late.
He got five catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's why. He's going to be a numbers guy, Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many times they get their ass kicked and they're chucking a rock all over the lot to play catch up? Yeah, look deeper into the numbers. Because that's how Ryan Tannehill got better every year, right?
And by the way,
because he's a 4,000-yard passer, Jim, and he throws for 35 touchdowns. Because you're getting your ass kicked every week.
I'm not sure he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Around.
Hall of Famer.
I'm not sure he is.
God, that pissed me off.
Boy, yeah, you're fired.
Have you ever looked at the list of who's in at that position? We've done this over the years. When this comes up in football, you go to the list and then you say, oh, maybe he's not, because he's not as good as the guys
remember
on that
how pissed
list.
Off T.O. got? That's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, they let
people
him
are going to remember him with Julio Jones.
AJ
they're
going to
be in the same breath.
Oh, I'd say
the
Julio
same
Jones
draft.
Better.
They
Julio
came
Jones
up together.
Better.
They're going to be in the same breath when they talked about.
That's Julio Jones better, way better.
I agree with you. I'm just telling you the public perception.
Good. Well, there's a reason public perception is what it is, too, when you're putting up those type of numbers. And this is your damn fantasy players.
People this is what you guys got on me for, which is the Jim Thome argument last year with the Hall of Fame. And I hated the Jim Thome.
Every time
thing.
I saw it,
I think A.J. Green's a Jim Thome.
What are you laughing at, Shaughnessy?
I don't even think A.J. Green is
you
Jim Thome.
You
know,
a segment or not?
No, I just wanted. I started the segment by asking you about Humphries.
Yeah, I know.
You
it struck a nerve.
No,
it did.
But Dan, they haven't accomplished what they wanted to accomplish to this point. 0-for-1.
But Zoe didn't want the guy anyway because he didn't come here, so Zoe says he sucks.
I didn't. That's what I said. I'm glad he didn't come here.
My takeaway is you're mad he didn't come here, so now he's no good. That's how it seems.
Oh, do you know what? If he signed here, you know what I have to do? I have to go back and I have to watch a ton of film and study him because I have no clue who the hell this guy is. At least I heard of Danny Amendola prior to him signing Amendola.
Okay. Yeah. Fired up.
Look at him. Golfer. Yeah, walk down the street. He could go to a Cinnabon at the mall. Nobody know who he was.
Innocent question about Humphries. That's what started it.
That's it.
So what's your takeaway from Humphries, Dan? That
I was under the impression that
he didn't want to be here.
They made him a better offer than Tennessee.
They did.
But they were late to the game. He had kept his, and he said he's going to keep his word. But Zoe has translated that into, well, he's no good anyway. We don't want him.
Okay. I said.
You put words in my mouth. Go ahead.
I said beforehand that I didn't want him anyway. I'm glad they didn't get him.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm glad they didn't get him.
But they wanted him.
Yeah.
They certainly wanted him.
Right.
And, well, he obviously looks serviceable.
And not I'm only sure. that, okay. If they did have the top offer at $10 million, which has been reported, were they at 7 before they made the offer of 10? No, they were probably in the same ballpark as Tennessee, and they upped their offer at the very last minute.
Were they at 8 guaranteed, $8 million guaranteed, and Tennessee was at 14? I mean, that's a big difference.
I have no idea.
You maybe came
I
in
don't know
more
those
AAV.
I don't know the numbers.
I don't look at AAV. You can't. You can't in the National Football League. Contracts in the National Football League mean crap on paper. Give me the guaranteed money. Give me the first 3 years.
But he's got some sort of loyalty to the staff in Tennessee, in the front office there, and guys that gave him his first shot with the Bucks.
Yes.
And so that may have factored in as well.
I heard what he said. It didn't bother me.
And not only that, I don't mind it. I don't mind that the Patriots lost out. I would just say that because they did, they lost out on that player. This is a big part of their plan. This is clearly a high priority of theirs this offseason.
Tells you they need help at receiver.
And they believe it, and they want to fix that issue. They want to remedy that problem.
And they will.
We hope.
They will.
They can't go into the year with what they've got.
They never do.
So there's got to be another move coming.
I know, and it's interesting they didn't get on the Golden Tate stuff because based on the type of number, I thought Golden Tate was going to come in somewhere around 10 or 12. Mm-hmm. Because if this guy's worth freaking 8 or 9, what the hell's Golden Tate worth? But then all of a sudden you see him dupe the video, show me the money from Jerry Maguire. So Tate's about the money too. All about the money. You got to make the money work. They got to find somebody.
So Patriots in the mix as well, 617-779-0985. Yesterday we told you the latest in the Robert Kraft saga, I'll call it. It was his friend commenting to USA Today over the weekend. Curious to hear what Dan Shaughnessy thinks about that. Also, there's more today from the Daily Mail. They've published photographs of the woman who is alleged to have been involved with Robert Kraft inside the Orchids of Asia Day Spa on January 19th. There's pictures out there. You can put a face to the name now, Zoe. I know you gazed at those photos today.
Yeah, didn't we have her face before?
No.
The Trump thing?
No.
That's a different one.
She's no, and in fact, I wanted to mention that as well because there is an update on that particular woman.
Counter-espionage. Okay.
So she's the owner. She's a former owner. So
the founder of the Orchids of Asia.
The originator.
Washington Post is all over
the
her.
The founder. Yeah. There is more news on her today, too. I'll recap it all for you after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.